take ball more than I love politics, to be honest with you. But, you know, being here this evening kind of...
Just a minute, Governor.
What? Yes.
Just a minute.
Oh, she wants to tie me down?
I'm tying you down.
Go ahead.
You're not my wife.
No. We got you.
Okay.
Yeah, about.
You're putting this on a record, I see, huh? Okay, yeah. Kind of reminds me of this gathering here, you know, as... of a little story, as I see the food and everything, about these two Jewish fellas that went into a Chinese restaurant. Now, these Jewish boys were very intelligent. They talked about philosophy, and they talked about theology, oh, their heritage, and everything. And one of them looked around the room, and he says, you know, Sam, he says, we have... American Jews, we have Italian Jews, we have Yugoslavian Jews. I wonder if we have American Jews and Chinese Jews. And the other fellow said, well, by golly, I don't know. Let's call over the waiter and find out. So they called over the waiter and asked him if he had Chinese Jews. He says, Sally, I don't understand. I get assistant manager, I find out. So he goes into the assistant manager room, and oh, there's an awful ruckus back there for about a minute. He comes back out and he says, Sally, he says, I got no Chinese Jews. I got orange juice. I got tomato juice. I got grapefruit juice. All right, we'll have maybe one or more or two after. But just getting a little serious for a minute or two. There was a Bernard of Chartres. He was a 12th century philosopher, said, we are like infants on the shoulders of giants. We see to the horizon because of those who labored before us. I mentioned this philosopher to emphasize the pioneers who came here before us and made it much easier for us here this evening. Especially in my case, it was my father, Mike Sr., whose faith, energy, enthusiasm, and hard work helped prepare the great land of Alaska for statehood. He came to the Yukon in 1898 and then north to Fairbanks in 1903. He was tough and gutsy, but he and my mother, Vuka, worked hard for the family to make a home and a living in this unyielding country. He saw the riches of the land. He walked the Chilkoot Pass before it was an excursion. He was but one of many pioneers, as you know, and many of you sitting here could also say the same thing of your father and mother. In fact, when I first ran for public office, many people thought they were voting for my dad. I had the name helping me, while many of you pioneers did not. In other words, you came to Alaska naked, and you made it on your own. Congratulations to all of you. I had quite a father as you have. He had a good sense of humor. And like Bob said, they nicknamed him Wise Mike. Well, to show you what kind of a sense of humor he had, he was had a gold mine. And I come up and worked for him in the summertime. I was going to school. And he was paying me $7 a day, room and board. Now, that was a lot of money in those days. That came to $210. It only cost me about $900, which was a lot of money too, to go to Notre Dame in those days. So I worked for them that summer, and I went back to school. Then the next summer I came up, he says, all right, Mike, he says, now, he says, you go to work, $7 a day, room and board. I said, Dad, no, I don't want to work for you this summer. Well, he said, what are you talking about? He says, that's a lot of money, $7 a day, and you can work out there and go back to school and everything. I said, no, I want to work for the NC company. It was another commercial company. He says, what? I said, yeah. And he said, well, how much are they going to pay you? Well, I says, they'll pay me about $2 a day. $2 a day, he says, I'm offering you $7. I says, Dad, no, I don't want to work for you this summer. I wanted some of the bright lights and a few things that they had in Fairbanks instead of getting stuck out there all the time like I did the year before. I probably was going through my mind. Well, he says, he called me Mike. He says, Mike, you're serious. I says, yes, I am, Dad. Well, he says, let me give you a little advice. Well, I says, what is it, Dad? He says, Mike, please take care of your feet because you sure as hell don't have a head. And I never forgot that. That was like a 4-year college course right there, that sentence. All right, let's reminisce a little bit and what was happening in the world 25 years ago, all right? Khrushchev succeeds Bulganian as chairman of the Council of USSR Ministers. De Gaulle is elected president of France. Cuban President Batista flees to the Dominican Republic. Fidel Castro becomes premier of Cuba. Election of Pope John the 23rd. All right, 25 years ago, what was going on in the United States? Alaska became the 49th state. Tension grew in the United States as desegregation of schools is attempted in the South. Governor Oral Faubus of Arkansas defies the Supreme Court by closing schools in Little Rock, reopening them as private, segregated schools. Eisenhower was president of the United States, and Boris Pasternak wrote Dr. Zhivago, and there was a great book and a movie followed it. That reminds me of a little story. I was practicing law and I went down to Seattle and I had dinner in a hotel restaurant and I thought maybe I'd take a walk for a few blocks before I went to bed. So I did and I start walking down the street there and I ran into Judge Gilbert. Now he was a Superior Court judge here in the in Alaska. He was in Fairbanks, he was in Nome, and that time he was in Ketchikan. And I knew him for years. In fact, he was an assistant district attorney here in Fairbanks before he became a judge. And he said, what are you doing here, Mike? Well, I says, I'm here on a little business. I thought I'd just walk around. I said, Judge, what are you doing? He said, well, I got a vacation. He says, and I'm here with Lucille, that's his wife. And he says, we have a little apartment. Why don't you come up to it now? Well, I says, all right, sure. So I go up there, and we get in the room, and we start talking. And and about an hour later, his wife, Lucille, comes in. Oh, she's surprised to see me. She says, how are you, Mike? Well, I says, I'm fine. But how's Matilda and the kids? Oh, they're fine. Everybody's fine. And Gilbert's looking kind of funny, you know, and he looks at his wristwatch, and it was about 10:30, and he says to her, he says, Lucille, where have you been? Well, she said, I went to see Dr. Zhivago. He looks at her and he says, "What the hell's wrong with you now?" Well, that doesn't mean all that the judges were that way, but anyhow, that's the story. All right, 25 years ago, what was happening in Alaska and to Alaska just before statehood? Oil was found on the Kenai Peninsula by Standard Oil Company. President Eisenhower first asked for Alaska statehood legislation in his 1957 budget message. Secretary of Interior Fred A. Seaton, whose department administered the territory, toured Alaska in 1957 and 1958. In speeches in Alaska and Washington, D.C., Seaton strongly advocated statehood and urged Alaska voters to approve statehood in the August 26th referendum, which they did. Now, remember some of the arguments for and against statehood. Representatives. Alaska and Hawaii would get two senators, with Hawaii getting two representatives and Alaska one. The opponents. The senatorial allotment would dilute the representation of the more populous states. The proponents. The Constitution intentionally provided for equal Senate representation for all states, regardless of population. Contiguity. Opponents argued they were too far distant to be integrated into the Union. Proponents. Other states, including California, were admitted to the Union while separated from other states by long distance. Population. Opponents. Alaska's population of 206,000 in an area one-fifth the size of the United States and more than twice as large as Texas is too small to support statehood. Proponents. 23 states had smaller populations. Nevada's 1915 population was only 160,083. Economy. Opponents. Alaska would be too weak to support statehood and would require vast amounts of federal aid. Proponents. The territory of Alaska has great economic potential that could be utilized fully under their own administration. Defense. Opponents. The strategic situation of Alaska must be resolved before statehood. Proponents. Set aside the strategic area of Alaska for defense purposes. Taxes. Opponents. Statehood will increase taxes sharply and thus discourage Alaska's economic development. Proponents. Not so. We are capable of handling ourselves and situations such as taxes, as other states have done. In spite of all the arguments pro and con, Congress passed H.R. 7999 by a 160 roll call vote on May the 28th, 1958, and sent the bill to the Senate. The Senate, on June the 30th, passed the bill by a 64-20 roll call vote and sent it to the President. President Eisenhower, on July the 7th, signed the bill into law, providing for the admission of Alaska as the 49th state of the Union. Now, he stated that he was pleased with the action admitting Alaska, but he was extremely disturbed over reports that no action is contemplated by the current Congress on pending legislation to admit Hawaii as a state. The same day, the President notified Alaska Governor Mike Stepanovich, who happened to be me, as required in the bill, that Alaska statehood had been signed into law. On January the 3rd, 1959, President Eisenhower signed the official proclamation making Alaska a state and designating the design of the 49-star flag that on July 4th became for 1 year the nation's official ensign. You know, when I really think about it, I talked myself out of a job working for statehood when I was territorial governor, but I know it was worth it. You know, Bob Hoffman mentioned I served in the United States Navy. Well, that's right. When I finished my time in the Navy, I was a yeoman third class. 12 years later, as governor of the territory, I was asked to review the Navy at Kodiak. They gave me a 19-gun salute. From yeoman third class to a 19-gun salute in 12 years, it could only happen in America. You know, actually, being governor of Alaska is one of the easiest jobs I ever had in my lifetime. I was more or less a glorified messenger for the Secretary of Interior. My responsibilities were not as great as the governor of Alaska today, although the fundamentals of responsibilities do not change. You know, my pay as governor was $19,000 a year. Now, in those days, that was pretty good money, though. I was furnished a car and a chauffeur, a cook and a maid to help in the governor's office. No utilities to pay. A house with 21 rooms. No rent to pay. How sweet could it get? My checks were good then. I had trouble with them Fairbanks before I went down. But I went all over the country giving talks in Alaska and why we should be a state. You know, Alaska had the help of many. Among those we recognize were Greening, Egan, Rivers, Bartlett, Hickel, Butrovich, Sneddon, the publisher here, Atwood, publisher in Anchorage. Also, the Hearst newspapers were very, very helpful. Of course, Eisenhower, Seaton, Senator Jackson, and many more. Now, speaking of these public figures and elected officials, reminds me of a story while I was a governor. About 2 months after I was governor, I came up to Alaska, up to Fairbanks. And I'm walking down the street, and a guy says, "Hey, Mike." I looked around, and he says, "Yeah." In those days, they called me Mike, or Governor Mike. They never said Governor Stepanovich. I don't think half of them could pronounce it, probably. But anyhow, it was Mike or Governor Mike. And I said, "Yes, yes." He says, "You know something, Mike?" He says, "When you ran for the Territorial House of Representatives in 1952, I voted for you. He says, when you ran for the Territorial Senate in 1954, I voted for you. He says, I've been a supporter and backer of yours all the time." Well, I says, "Thank you very much. That makes me feel good now." He says, "Now when you're governor," he says, "I tell all my friends about you, that you're going to make a good governor and you're going to be good." I said, "Well, thank you very much." I said, "I appreciate that, to have backing, especially when you're in office." He says, "Yes, now, but Mike," he says, "you can do something for me." Well, I says, "What is it? If it's within reason, I'd be glad to." He says, "Mike, would you please help me become a United States citizen?" Oh, just when I think of it, get away from, you know, we're talking about the laws of the books. I'm going to tell you the three shortest books. And I think it's good. The three shortest books in the world. First one is The Portuguese Who's Who. The second is The Italian Medal of Honor Winner. Now, most of them, like Lacazzi down there, knows they're lovers, they're not fighters. And third is The Alaska Social Register. Okay, we should never forget the contribution of those giants who built the state of Alaska. Those giants being the pioneers of yesteryear and the pioneers of today. They came to the gold rush of the North. They developed the timber and fishing industry of the South. They pioneered the building of the military bases and World War II airfields, the building of the Alaska Highway, and the pioneering of the air transportation in Alaska by the Bush pilots and Pan American Airways, and the building of the Alaska pipeline. Now, all of us here, pioneers of Alaska, have had the privilege of being part of the living history of Alaska. Each of you has had a part in making history in some small way, preparing this great land for generations to come. As I have recalled to you the events that took place 25 years ago, you can say I was there. I am a part of this. I helped to make this history. Others will only read about it. We ourselves are like infants, but with the help of God and vision and hard work, we can overcome most adversities, which the pioneers of Alaska have done, and by doing so, made the state of Alaska the most prosperous and exciting state of the Union, and the future home of millions of Americans to come. In closing, I quote this line from Robert Frost. The woods are lonely, dark, and deep. But we have promises to keep and miles to go before we sleep. Thank you, and may God bless each and every one of you. Thank you.
Well, thank you for giving me the opportunity to introduce my family to wonderful people.